From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 31st day of March 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. Coming up in this half hour, we'll recap this morning's grain stocks and prospective plantings report and get an update on what happened in Chicago after the numbers were released this morning. Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing will be here to help us do that. We'll hear about President Joe Biden's new infrastructure plan. It will be out at 3:20 this afternoon, or at least the president will make a presentation at that point. You can see that presentation and watch it on our website at willag.org at that time. I'll give you a preview today during the closing market report, and we'll also discuss the weather forecast today. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, all on this Wednesday edition of our program. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
At 11 a.m. Central Time today, the United States Department of Agriculture released the grain stocks and prospective plantings figures. The grain stocks number shows that 7.7 billion bushels of corn is still left on hand. The average trade guess, by the way, was 7.77 billion. Soybeans at 1.564 with an average guess of 1.534 and wheat at 1.314. The average trade guess for wheat was at 1.272 billion bushels, still in the bin and needing to be used by the end of the marketing year for each of those crops prospectively. That did not make much of a difference in Chicago. However, the prospective plantings reports did. In corn, the trade was expecting a much larger figure than actually was released at 91.144 million acres with an average trade guess of 93.2. On the soybeans, the trade was looking for about 90 million acres, and the USDA says no, 87.6 million acres is what the farmer told us the day that they were going to plant, and that pushed the market sharply higher after 11 o'clock with limit up moves in the corn for the May, July, and December contracts, all 25 higher at 564 and a quarter for the May, July at 547 and a half, up 25, and December at 477 and a half, new crop also up 25 cents. May soybeans were limit higher, up 70 at $14.36 and three quarters. July locked up 70, that's the limit at 427 and three quarters, and November at $12.56 and a quarter, it finished 70 higher for the day. The bean meal was up 25 bucks at $4.23.20, and the bean oil $2.46 higher at $52.92. Wheat futures for the July 16 higher at $6.15 and three quarters, and the hard red July at $5.81 and three quarters, up 17 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, April contract unchanged at $120.97 and a half. The June at $122.90, up 67 and a half cents, and feeder cattle at $143.87.5, $2.95 higher for the day, and the April contract in May at $149.40, up $2.80. Lean hogs, $101 even, a nickel higher, rather $101.05, up 12.5 cents for the day. Other outside markets, crude oil around $1.39 a barrel lower. The diesel fuel down about 2 2/10 of a cent. And gasoline on the RBOB, 4 cents lower, to $1.95 9/10 of a cent. Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing now joins us to talk about today's trade. Big day in Chicago. Started really with the USDA reports, and the market jumped sharply. Can you tell me about maybe the prospective plantings report to begin with? Because that's where all the action came from.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a combination of both, Todd, you know, the prospective plantings and the grain stocks. But the prospective plantings certainly lit the fire. You have an average guess of 93.1 million for corn, and they come in at 91.1. Beans, we were guessing 90 million, came in at 87.6. That was a real shocker, I can tell you that much. Wheat came, the average guess was 45.2, came in at 46.4. And so some things that I don't think anybody expected at all. I certainly did not expect to see just a 91 million acre corn number. You know, if you take the corn and bean number and you add them together, you only have 178.7 million acres, and that's significantly less than what we normally end up with. So I know on this report there's always a holdback for potential prevented plant, but wow, This just lit them up, I'll tell you. Beans were up 70, corn was up 25 in absolutely no time. Now, the deviation on this report for corn was 3.7%. In other words, that just means that it could be as high as 94.5 million acres, as low as 87.7. Sorghum, I included because sorghum actually went up 850,000 acres, which is a significant move for sorghum for grain. And there the deviation is 14.3%. So you could see 3.2 million acres or 2.4 million acres total. And beans, the deviation was 5.5%. either 92.4 million or as low as 82.8 million. And so a few things kind of got blown out the water because beans did come in again in the last 3 years. You know, soy acres were below the trade guess. Well, they were definitely below the trade guess, so let's make it 4 years. But the last two out of three, you know, corn was exceeding what they said. Now, corn came in lower too. So this is a really surprising report to everybody.
Grain stocks not so surprising though.
No, grain stocks. The corn stocks number came out at 7.701 billion, and the average guess was 7.778. So we were 77 million less than the average guess. It's not a big deal when you're talking about that much grain, but what it does confirm is that, you know, it's there. We're using the grain. It's going out. Beans basically came in almost right on top of what they expected. Wheat came in a little bit higher than what they expected. I always like to dig in, Todd, and look at how much the farmer was holding last year versus this year, because, you know, when the commercial is holding more of the crop, we always know that that limits how far down we'll go as far as price goes. Corn last year, they were holding 56%. This year, 52%. Beans last year, 49%. And this is where I think, you know, acreage might have lit the fire, but I'll tell you what, this farmer's only holding 38% stoked it big time, which means that the commercial's sitting on 62% of the beans, and they have 48% of the corn. So, you know, they're not that far from being above that 50% level. So, you know, it was wildly interesting for a change. And yet, of course, you know, when you lock things limit, they just sit there and nothing happens, basically. But it's better than it's been. Let's just put it that way.
Well, let me ask a follow-up question on the moves higher today and what producers should think about them. Because I'm wondering whether the prospective plantings and the grain stocks report, when taken together, which normally will give us the tone for the next 3 months, or at least a couple of them, are they going to give us that lift all the way through the planting season, do you think?
I would be somewhat surprised if that were the case. You know, once we get guys out and we get rolling, it'll certainly support us into when we have a better idea of what this spring looks like. There's no question about that. But I think the other thing, Todd, that we have to think about is, you know, the market has kind of wandered away a bit from the focus on the fundamentals. And I do think that is, you know, that's the key. That's what the grain stocks report is. And so the grain stocks report basically came in and confirmed that we have very tight stocks. And, you know, when you look at the holdings on the commercial side of things, confirms that, you know, we're at prices that are probably fairly well supported. Can anything change? Certainly. It concerns me, you know, that we're as far ahead on export inspections as what we are. But at the very same time, you know, we don't need to go down to zero on our stocks either. So until we get into the actual spring and think, and, you know, have a good idea if the farmers are really hitting the fields and it's going well, I think we're going to be supported. But at the same time, don't be surprised. I mean, you know, the focus can wander away again in a pretty big hurry. So when we start to see tomorrow, you know, you have expanded limits, and that's going into a 3-day weekend, you know, so that's a little bit scary in itself, but we'll see once what that brings. But if we can't get through some of these levels, you know, where we're trading is not at the highest that we've been. So we have to get above the levels that we had been at before to really feel that we're truly renewing a solid uptrend move. And so I'd say that you have to keep a very close eye on what's happening. You know, when you look at beans, November beans as an example, $12.65 and a quarter. The high today, you know, we were in the 12.56s. So it's as exciting as it is to see the limit up moves. I want to see some confirmation, but I do think it does give us a good argument for at least stability and potential for a higher move up. And it'll depend on what happens down in South America.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, as you mentioned, the markets are closed Good Friday, so we won't have trade then, and they'll open back up on Monday. That'll give us a three-day weekend, which oftentimes can be a little scary for the commodity markets. We'll see how that rolls. You did mention exports as well. What do export inspections really look like?
Well, they've been slowing down is what they've been doing. Wheat exports have stayed 1% behind this week and last week both. But corn was 89% ahead last week. It's 86 this week. Beans were up 73 last week. They're only up 72 right now. Each week, what we're seeing is a little more slippage. Now, I think some of the issue probably is there were not a lot of sales made going into this big report because everybody is waiting to see what that report's going to say. And I'm certain that there's probably some importers right at the moment that are not very happy that they didn't make moves, and maybe they did. But I think in general, being this far ahead, and you've heard me say it so many times over the years, you know, we were heavily front-loaded on inspections. And again, I want to clarify, the USDA report is about what inspections are, not what sales are. So if you're seeing sales and saying, oh my gosh, you know, this is fantastic, sales can be diverted to the following year. And so it is concerning in that respect, but I think that today's report at least tells us that, yes, we have tight stocks. Yes, the demand has been good. And, you know, let's just take another step forward. And that's what we've got to do.
Any news out of China?
They didn't buy hardly anything ahead of the report. They have had stronger COVID outbreaks again on the coast of Miramar. And I think that when you look at the big picture, that was some of what was going on yesterday, too, is, you know, concerns about, you know, all the talk about COVID in so many places, and especially in China. And so today we just came back and kind of looked at the fundamentals rather than at what the guesses are. When you go to South America now, Mato Grosso had the greatest rainfall growing season in the last 5 years. Can you imagine that? But it's funny. They cannot keep subsoil moisture like we do. You know, it comes and it goes just as fast as it comes. And the big concern at this point in time, and then when I looked at the corn, you know, stocks numbers that we have, is southern Brazil and the Safrinha corn situation could be pretty touchy. You know, when you have a La Nina year out in, down in South America, or basically almost anywhere, you can just about count on the fact that you're going to end up with a frost, and early frost, earlier than normal frost. And so that would be very detrimental to Paraná and southern Mato Grosso. Now, I've got the Brazilian soybean harvest numbers from all over the place. This week, they're 67% done. They were 60% last year, last week, 74% a year ago, and their average is 70. So they're crawling back and getting closer to where they're supposed to be. But there's a few of these, like Mato Grosso do Sul, which last year was, their average is 97% done. They're 8% done right now. And Paraná, which is usually 82% done, is only 16% done at this point in time. And so, you know, it's really tough in some of the major areas that actually produce the crops, and the biggest producing areas basically is what it is. And so they're getting there, but it isn't much fun. You know, Argentina, their rainfall's really been very irregular when you look over the whole season. And so I would expect, and when I talk with Dr. Cordonier, irregular yields, you know, it just follows through. When you have this rain, up and down rainfall and heat, you just don't know what you're going to get. But last week, I have to correct myself. Last week, I gave you the South American crop ratings, and I realized after we were all done that I should have told you that 1 is the lowest the rating can be, and 10 is the highest that it can be. So last week, Brazilian beans were rated at 5, and this week they're still at 5. Actually, nothing's changed from last week. So full season corn is rated at 4. Safrina corn is at 4. Argentina's at 3 to 4, and soybeans. And Argentina's corn is at 4. And so, you know, that's quite a difference. So, you know, that their crop is really rated very much in the middle of the road, and uncertain about how it's going to end up.
Hey, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. I always enjoy doing it. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vex. She's with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find it again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. One agricultural news item for the day. In just about an hour at 3:20 p.m. Central Time, the President of the United States will present his American Jobs Plan. The White House has posted a fact sheet about the plan in its briefing room. And in its first paragraph, it does take on China, saying the United States needs to compete with that nation. And then in the third paragraph, it says, like great projects of the past, the president's plan will unify and mobilize the country to meet the great challenges of our time, the climate crisis and the ambitions of an autocratic China. It will invest in Americans and deliver the jobs and opportunities they deserve. The document lays out priorities for fixing highways and bridges and upgrading ports, airports, and transit systems, delivering clean drinking water and renewed electrical grids, along with high-speed broadband to all Americans. And it looks forward to building, preserving, and retrofitting some 2 million homes and commercial buildings, modernizing the nation's schools and child care facilities, and upgrading veterans' hospitals and federal buildings. However, throughout that briefing document, which is about infrastructure and jobs in the United States, it does not once mention locks and dams on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers or in any other capacity. If you'd like to watch President Biden present the plan this afternoon, you can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org, at 3:20 today. And let's look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner joins us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for being with us. I know you've been watching closely the Northern Plains and the Canadian Prairies as they have been awfully dry. And since the weather here is not so bad, we'll get to that in a moment. Can you give me an update of what's been happening in those places, especially because North Dakota now says they're going to plant 69% or 169% of the corn that they put in the ground last year?
Yeah, and I think they're getting a green light to go with that. Here in the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot of good weather or improving conditions up there, I believe. We're going to shift the weather pattern around a little bit. We're going to get a little bit more ridginess in the middle of the country for a while. A southwest flow pattern will occur, but it's going to be shunted more to the west. So the storms will come into Northern California and the parts of the Great Basin and head for the Northern Plains and Canada's prairies. I think that'll be something of a pattern that will evolve periodically as we go into April. It's looking a little bit better as each day goes along. It'll take us a little while to prime the pump. So these recent storms and the ones that are coming up this week will add a little moisture to the atmosphere every once in a while. And hopefully we'll get to the point of generating some favorable moisture. So by the time we get ready to plant those coarse grains and oil seeds, I think the moisture will be there. And that'll support what you just said.
Other parts of the country that you've been watching?
Well, you know, right now we've got this massive cold air mass moving through the Midwest. Now, it sounds like it's a really crazy cold air mass, but it's really the last day in March, right? So, you know, getting cold shots of air are not that unusual still for this time of the year. We'll see frost and freezes occurring tomorrow morning down into the northern delta in the heart of the Midwest. Everybody will see frost and freezes there. We'll see frost and freezes also occurring tomorrow in portions of hard red winter wheat country. We saw a little bit of that this morning. morning. And then on Friday morning, we'll see some freezes in North and South Carolina and Virginia. The only places that we could see any kind of significant damage would be in the Carolinas, probably. And that's not a very important part of our wheat production area, so we're not really concerned about that. But immediately following this cool air mass will be a strong wind blowing once again out of the south across the plains and into the western Corn Belt, pumping a lot of heat back into those areas. Very warm and dry conditions expected this as we finish out this week going into the weekend. And we'll see temperatures soaring over 80 degrees back into South Dakota and extending all the way back through West Texas. And we'll see that linger a little bit into early next week. The weather pattern after that will become a little bit mixed, but I think one of the things that's going to happen is it will get a little bit of moisture coming across parts of the Midwest. And then with all the warmth that we will have had in the coming week, the two are going to come together. And I think we're going to see some aggressive early season planting weather. I think the pattern is going to be real supportive of that. If we get the ridge to come into the western Corn Belt for a little while we make the northern plains in Canada a little wetter, we could make the Midwest a little drier right at the right time and get a lot of seed in the ground.
Soil temperatures jumping up, drier weather, planters rolling across the Midwest. Is that for the first 2 weeks of the month of April, full 2 weeks, that is?
I think we can probably skip a little bit of the first week. The dryness will be there, but I'm not sure how warm we'll get, how quickly. But let's say the 5th through the 15th, I think that would be a really good time period.
How about in South America? What's happening in Argentina?
Argentina has just finished out a really good week of rainfall. They already had good rains in the previous week in portions of the country, but the areas that didn't get rain got it in this most recent 7 days. The moisture profile in Argentina is the best it's been all year long. Of course, the growing season is winding down, so it's a little bit too late. But nevertheless, the late season soybeans and late corn will likely eat this up. Even the peanut crop will probably benefit greatly from this. And we're going to see dry weather come up here for the next full week, and that is going to really help to get the ground to firm up, and so the early season crops can mature and be harvested really well. So the bottom line, Argentina looks really nice right now.
And in Brazil?
Brazil, all the worry about early season dry down in safrinha corn country is still out there, but it looks like in the second week of the forecast, we're seeing better opportunities for rain now. And if it does come along and verify, and I do believe it will, we will be adding some moisture to areas that are drying out right now, and that'll help carry crops a little later into the month. We're still very concerned, though, about late April and especially May weather. They have to have an extended rainy season to really give the majority of this late-planted safrinha corn a good chance to produce as well as possible.
Hey, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.